Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The year is 2015, and we have another young adult adaptation that has come out in theaters. No, you have not been caught in a time warp. This is just a new film from the Hunger Games franchise. And we're going to talk about it today on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast.
That was Joseph Jammer Medina. I'm slightly confused, and this is Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, hello. Let's have a conversation about 2015. What's 2015? Are you saying that that's the year that this should have come out? What's going on here?
Come on. There was that brief period in time where these types of adaptations
Maze Runner.
Were, you know, hot for like 5 seconds, and then they just imploded. And that was like the early 2010s. I think the last one that came out was The Hunger Games, The Mockingjay Part 2, and I believe that was 2015.
What's the bone thing? There was a show, something bone. Blood and Bone?
Shadow and Bone?
What's the... Shadow and Bone. Is that the same vein?
So no, because this is, I'm talking dystopian sci-fi young
adult. Is it Shadow and Bone? What is Shadow and Bone? Is that
it's a fantasy.
Steampunk? Steampunk. Okay. I can't tell the difference
at this
point anymore. Okay.
It's just fantasy.
All right. Okay. So we've canceled young adult dystopian novels.
You know what's really happy is that, you know, I spent the first 3 minutes of this show explaining just an offhanded comment I made, but I just thought it was pretty self-explanatory about how this is sort of a genre that really has just completely evaporated. It evaporated immediately after Mockingjay Part 2. I think the only thing that came out that was remotely close to it was it was a Rachel Bracken YA book that was kind of like a superhero thing, but it kind of had the same vibe as like the YA books. But regardless, we're
Divergent.
Here to talk about the dark ones, something like that.
I'm deeply offended by the title. Deeply, deeply motherfucking offended. Okay, let's talk about the one we have on hand. So,
which is called the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
That's the one. It is a prequel to the Hunger Games novels. It is a 2020. A book written by the same author as the Hunger Games novel. So
Suzanne Collins.
Suzanne? Yeah, I was going to say, is it Susan or Suzanne?
It's The Darkest Minds, by the way. That was the name of the book I couldn't think of. The Darkest Minds.
Fucking racist. Anyway. We're going to talk about this prequel where we get to see the rise and fall of Snow. How did a good guy go bad? Jammer, would you like to give your thoughts on this film that has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes? No audience score as of right now.
No audience score, which is surprising. I was wondering, I thought it would happen sooner rather than later. But I mean, I could already tell you and I are going to be in complete disagreement.
At odds,
I would say.
Let's hear it. Go.
I'd say, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but as of right now, for what I can think of, this might be my second favorite movie of the year so far that I've seen. Yeah.
Have you watched? What's your number one?
Spider-Verse, obviously.
Now I've got to look out. I've got to see what came out this year and see how. Okay, you do your like. Hey, this is why I love it. And let's.
This is
hear.
This is the first blockbuster that I've seen in a while, and that's admittedly not a high bar right now. I think it's
there
the first blockbuster that I've seen since The Batman that felt like it was legitimately directed. Like, it felt like there was a director who came in and says, I have a vision of how I want this to be portrayed, and here's how I want it to be done. It actually felt like it was directed by somebody with sort of a masterful hand on directing, and not necessarily someone who, you know, maybe just knew how to get actors to do stuff. and had everyone else handle visual effects, with the exception of a couple of parts in it. With regards to the stadium, and I think I'm getting sick of people being shot on green screen and kind of just inserted into a stadium. I think there are several shots that have that part, that have that look to it. But overall, I just thought it was masterfully directed. I thought the actors were fantastic. There are some issues, I would say, in the third act of the story, which we can talk about more. But on the whole, I just thought it was a very solid movie. And I thought it also had a really cool costume and production design that stood out to me. The production design was really almost felt Kubrickian in a way. Stanley Kubrick, something you could see-ish out of A Clockwork Orange, or inspired by almost. You could almost look at it and see, with like a mix of Loki in it. Anyway, I overthought this was a solid movie, maybe the second best in the franchise behind Catching Fire. And yeah, I definitely really enjoyed this film, and I'm interested to hear what your overall problems are with it.
What's your letter grade?
B+. It has some pretty solid issues in the tail end, but it's one of those things where there are some issues. I don't know the solution because I understand what they're going for and why it was the way it was.
Okay. All right. So you like this better than Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
You're out of your fucking mind. All right. So my thoughts on this film. It was boring. It was overly long. So this film clocks in at 2 hours and 38 minutes. And I had this, like, you know, when someone or something in the back of your head like taps. So when they do like part one, the mentor, someone's like, hey, this movie's going to be long. And I was like, no, that's not true.
Saw the other movies. The movies aren't super short.
So long, though, that I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. The Hunger Games movies are not. It's weird. I think I probably saw them in the first weekend that they came out, all three of them.
Four.
I don't remember them.
There's four of them.
Four? Are there four? Oh, yeah. They split the last one into two, right? Is that what they did? Yep. All right. I don't remember them.
The second one is really good. I've always maintained the second one is like really, really, really good. You should check that out again. Clearly you don't remember. It's, Jonesy.
I don't remember. Yeah, they're very forgettable to me. And so I came into this like, do I really care about like what happened to Snow? And at the point, I think I kept looking at my watch every 30 minutes just because it was not maintaining my interest. Like it wasn't particularly interesting. And I was trying to figure out, and maybe your perspective on it is the kind of thing that gets Peter Dinklage or Viola Davis to go like, yeah, I want to be in that, right? Because they read the script and they're like, you know what, Jammer's right, this is an interesting movie with interesting characters. And I, because the whole time Jones is like, I don't understand how you got Peter Dinklage and Viola Davis to be in this movie, because if I had to give it a letter grade, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, I'll give you that. C minus. No. I say that I'm trying to put my commentary into context, because I've done is complain about it. It's just not interesting. And so I'm going to take a page from your book, where generally you say, you know, the worst thing that a movie can be is boring. This is boring. And so this is a C or C minus.
I was not bored the entire time. I agree. Man. It was over long, but like the entire time I was thoroughly engaged.
When they broke in the song, when they broke in the song, I started looking around like, is this really happening right now? When she started singing.
There's like three times that happens.
The very first time. So anywhere she sang that wasn't a stage, I was just like, what's happening? I don't want this. Who wanted this? Who thought this would be good? When she sang on stage.
What about in the Hunger Games? In the actual Hunger Games, when she sang in the Hunger Games.
It was probably terrible. Are you talking about when she got
selected?
You not
remember? No.
I remember. I remember that moment. And then everybody else sang like, yeah, no, it's.
Do you know what I'm talking? I feel like you don't know
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. I think she had a moment where she sang, and then they were showing the other districts, and they were like, oh my God. And they started singing too, right? Like,
did you fall asleep in this movie?
Probably. Wait, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the main.
No. When you're saying in the Hunger Games, you have to understand there's a book, there's a film, and then we're talking about a movie right now.
I'm talking about in the actual Hunger Games, within the event of the Hunger Games.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were referring to like one of the old movies.
No.
See, that's what I mean. It's confusing. What did I think about that? You're talking about during the Slytherin scene? Is that it? No, I don't.
Man, what is wrong with you? You feel nothing. No feelings.
Anyway, C minus. Let's move into spoilers. Are you getting into spoilers? Let's talk about some spoilers.
Yeah, let's get into spoilers.
So were you at the end of those films? Were you curious about Snow? Were you like,
I'm not
Snow.
Like you, Jonesy. I don't sit there and go like, who wanted this? I think that's.
I didn't do that.
You always do that. You always do.
No,
that.
I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. Who wanted this? Who asked for this? You always ask.
After
that.
I see it, yes.
that's not a question that
I see it,
never am like, who asked for this? I think that's like one of the laziest pieces of criticism anyone can log at a
after
piece of
I
media
see a
out
thing.
There.
I think it's like after I see a thing, I'm like, who did this? Who the fuck wanted this? Who asked
for this? There are times there are times before where you go like, who asked for this? I didn't ask. If someone said, hey, do you want this? I'd probably be like, no, it's fine. But if it's there and maybe it looks interesting, sure, I'll give it a shot. And what I think this movie did a pretty good job of overall is it didn't show the rise and fall. It showed the fall, like the moral fall of a character and how he ended up the way he was.
Oh, yeah, it did. And I guess it didn't.
It's a villain arc, essentially. But I think it did it in a way that felt very effective and believable. Like at the end of it, I'm like, okay, I get why you are the way you are. Yeah, legitimately, anyone or anything around him, any positive thing he had in his life got twisted due to paranoia, or his friends died because even if they tried to make a difference, they wouldn't.
I think this is where it lost me with the arc that you're describing. At the point where they got out, I don't think I understood what was happening after they escaped that caused him to go like, you know what? I've escaped with this person, but now I have to shoot her.
He saw a way. So essentially he saw the weapons and he's like, oh, she's right. I get rid of this thing.
So he wanted to go back to the Capitol more than he wanted to be with her.
I think so. Yeah. I think he was torn the entire time between those two things. What does he want? And she even spelled it out. She's like, hey, isn't it enough if we're out here? And you can kind of see it in his eyes. He's like, no, it's not really enough. No. So when there's an opportunity there, it's like, if I get rid of this gun and if I kill her, I'm going to the Capitol, or I'm going to District 2 where I can work my way to the Capitol. There's my opportunity. There's my out. I was doing this because it was the only way I could see myself having a free life. But that's now gone. And I think they did a really good job of building the paranoia between the two, as they don't say it, but they are kind of looking at each other as things are happening. And there even is cool effect where there's like a warping in the background behind the main girl as she's kind of looking at him. And it's just very, very well directed and acted. And it's very fascinating to watch. Was it slow? Yeah. But also,
you like that slow build.
I appreciated the fact that there was a big blockbuster that allowed those breathing moments, because I feel like we don't get those very often. And I just appreciated the willingness for both the director and the studio to let these character moments build. And my problem, though, is it is a huge shift from the end of Act 2 through Act 3. It is a huge shift. It's basically like a second movie, right?
Yeah.
It's like a whole new story. But at the same time, it's thematically encased in an arc of a character. So I get why they did it. And I understand why it's structured the way it is. And honestly, it's the same problem the book had. And now I'm just thinking,
You read this book in particular?
I read the book. Yes. And I think the movie does a really good job. I think the movie is better than the book overall, but really? It's still a very faithful adaptation. Like it's everything. I'm like, yes, this is the book on screen. There are some parts that are cut out. I think the visuals and the flair that the director adds and the actors add really, really help to elevate the material personally. But like I said, I feel like there's the problem with it, but I'm not sure what the solution is. The problem is literally it stops and then starts again, and it takes a while to build up. It is a slow burn, but I don't know what the solution is, because as I said, it really is all about President Snow's fall, and it shows him, okay, he hits rock bottom here. This is him trying to find his new life before essentially succumbing to his own greed over time. And then at the end of the movie where he killed Peter Dinklage and walks out into the statue, I'm like, oh, arc complete. That was beautiful. I thought it was fantastic. Great. It was awesome. And I also appreciated, because I expected them to take out all the ambiguity in this ending, the part where it looks like he shot her.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
But she disappeared, yeah. And you have no idea what happened to her. I remember reading the book and being like, what happened here? Like, where did she go? What's going on? What happened? And then I also expected there to be some really big hint that, like, oh, maybe, you know, after, you know, there's a sweeping shot and then you see District 13 in the distance being built and she shows up there. I expected something like that, but there wasn't. Once we got the finished arc, cut the credits. We're done. This is the movie. This is what it is about. And we're done. We've moved on. And I thought that was very bold and interesting.
Is there another book planned in this series?
No.
Really?
This is it.
Surprise. Okay. Because that, like I said, I think this came out in 2020. So I think the next one would have been coming out right about now.
It depends. But no, there's no plans from what I understand.
Okay. And so I'm curious, would I have more of an attachment to it if I had read and liked the book?
Probably not. I think the movie should have been able to stand on its own. And either A, it just isn't good enough for you, or B, you know, it's just not as good as I think it is. I don't know what the answer is, but like, I thought it was great. And I don't think it's because I thought the book was great, because I read the book back in 2020 or 2021. Honestly, it didn't leave a huge impact. I quickly forgot it. I didn't remember most of the events. All I kind of remembered was that structure, the structure of The Hunger Games plays a vital role, but it's not about The Hunger Games. It is about this person's fall, which is why it's structured how it is.
Okay. I a friend of mine was very interested. Like, they had read, I don't know if they'd read this book, but I know they had read the other ones and they had seen all the movies and they said, what would you think? Would I enjoy this? And I think what I said was someone who sounds like you, right? Somebody who was already into it, would probably like it. Someone like me, I could not even tell you what caused me to watch all of the Hunger Games movies. I think maybe I just had a bunch of free time and just like, nah, I'm going to watch a movie, but they never struck me as something that I just enjoyed that much. So, but for you saying we should watch this for the show, I never would have watched this. But I was never, I think I was more interested.
It sounded like you didn't get a lot out of it anyway.
No, I think I was definitely, I was pretty interested in Peter Dinklage's character. What I did like was the explanation. Like, it felt very Harry Pottery to me, like this idea of a Snape type character that just hates this guy's son and has an opportunity to shit all over him.
Except it's obviously different. At the end, I feel like he has a much better reason at the end. Like, his reasoning at the end, I was like,
hold up.
That was so good.
God damn, man, calm down. Like, it's obviously different. And I did like his rationale. And it made sense. Not only did it make sense, you could see like why he was doing drugs, why he was bitter, like why this is weighing down on him. I think I enjoyed that more than the rest of the entire movie. And because of that, I actually wanted to know more about Viola Davis's character. Like, what was the thing that made her tick? Like, they did such a good job of showing you that Peter Dinklage was broken and then telling you why. And then I was like, oh, I really like that. And so it made me wonder, like she was psychotic. And so I wanted to know, like, what made her that way. Like the fact that she was torturing these kids and like let them get bit by snakes and all, like what makes a person like that? And so, you know, but God knows if they write those.
So it sounds like it sounds like you are asking for Viola Davis.
As soon as they do that, I'm gonna be like, who asked for this? Jammerson.
I'll be like, I hate that criticism so much because nobody asks for anything. Or nobody, like, no classic movie has been like someone be like, I want that. No actual classic. No one's like, I fucking want E.T. Give me E.T. No one said that.
No, it usually comes in the context of like an unnecessary sequel or prequel. That's usually the context of that comment. It's not like out of the ether, like why?
And no one was like, who asked for a Godfather Part 2? Who asked for a Godfather Part 2? Who asked for this? Don't ruin a classic.
Who asked for Godfather Part 3? That's the one that people would say that for, not the second one.
Yeah, I know.
But usually what would happen is...
Godfather came out last year. Godfather Part 2 was in production. Who asked for this?
Here's what I think happens with that criticism. I think that there is a story. There's an arc that happens. And people are like, I'm full. Like that was a delicious meal. I'm good. And then they just have this weird tangent where they're like, well, don't you care about like how Han Solo got the ship and the boots and the like where he got his dice from and how he met his best friend and how he met his other best friend? And like, don't you want all those things? Hey, you get to see him shoot first. And it's like, who asked for this? I don't want this. Mm. And so while I understand what you mean, I understand the laziness, I do think that the comment usually comes in the context of, I had an arc with this character and I enjoyed it. And it feels like you're just milking it. That's what it means. So when people say that someone is milking something, generally their undercurrents of that seem like, who asked for this?
But a lot of times they're also not. I can't think of one off moment, but there are plenty of times where there are these movies and people are like, who asked for this? And it's not a sequel. It's just something that they don't like the way it looks. Or maybe it's an adaptation of something.
When it's a whole new property, I have no idea. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. Sure. Could be great. But I mean, it's usually for me when it's spinoffs and sequels and prequels on, that's usually when I'm like, so when I saw the trailer for Matrix Resurrections, I'm like, who the fuck asked for this? And I was like, oh, that's right. Some Warner Brothers jack off.
To be fair, if that movie was good, we'd be like, oh, I'm glad that movie existed, but it wasn't. So
that would have been a good segue to the thing we're not going to do.
Really quick. So I got asked by Kyle. This is a good question. Did I like it more than Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
Oh, yeah. It's another one.
That is another one.
No, don't ask him that because he's going to say yes.
No. And I don't think I do. I do think it has different strengths. I think the acting and the directing and the filmmaking are all better in The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes than in Guardians. But I think Guardians is more entertaining.
All right. At least there's that. Jesus Christ. I was gonna hang up on you.
No, you weren't. Get over it. Can't handle a different opinion. Who asked for Guardians 3? Who asked for
it's
this?
It's not even... Me.
I know.
Me. What else you got? Anything?
No? I mean, hold on.
That's what I was
saying. I know, Phil, you say you didn't have a lot to say. You said a lot. You said a good amount.
Did I?
You said a good amount of things. I mean, sure.
That's only because you forced me to say stuff.
I really didn't force you to say anything.
You did.
But I don't know. I like the directing. I like the filmmaking. I think the script was good. I don't know what the solution to the problem is of that slow ending, but overall it was like I said, the second favorite of the franchise, of a franchise that I think is fairly decent. I think the first one is okay. I love the second one. I think the third and fourth one were a step down, but overall I've always appreciated the filmmakers and their willingness to go darker and more mature than the source material would seem to indicate. And I think that kind of continued in this movie.
What'd you think of the actual Hunger Game?
I think
that's a large section where I was bored.
Were you really? Why? Yeah. I was surprised at how, because for me, what I think they did a really good job of, I felt like the deaths were more brutal than they've been in the past without really crossing the line.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really effective.
Yeah, the chicken got stabbed with a trident. I was like, God damn,
They had a bunch of pretty brutal deaths in that one without the blood. It was like a scene out of One Piece. He's bleeding everywhere. He's not bleeding everywhere. Stop saying he's bleeding everywhere. Like, you had moments where that girl was stabbed through the throat with like the bottle. And then like, mm-hmm. you see clearly he's like, and like, there's no blood in your hands. Stop acting like there's blood in your hands.
I think there was.
Maybe a little bit, but I didn't see it.
I thought when they pulled him away, I could see the blood.
Maybe. I mean, I think he also just had like the body language that we just assume comes with blood. We just didn't see the blood. But what was your question again? Oh, the Hunger Games. So yeah, it lacked flair. I mean, that's kind of the point because it's in early stages.
Proto. Yeah.
And I liked the way they were able to kind of, and this is, you disagree clearly, how they were able to keep momentum going and keep things clipping along without it feeling like they were just trying to replicate what came before. I also think that Jason Schwartzman was awesome in his role in this movie. Jason Schwartzman, the announcer guy.
Oh.
Did yeah. you forget?
Was that Stanley Tucci? What? No. Was that Stanley Tucci before?
Yes. Oh, no, it was a different character. Like, this is presumably his, like...
You mean ancestor. Different actor or different character? Is it a different person?
Yeah, this is like 80 years in the future or past.
I don't know. That's right. You confused like 60 me with years the 2015. The well, he was much older. I don't know.
I know, but presumably it was like, you know, maybe his son or grandson or something.
Okay.
So Stanley Tucci is like a son or a grandson or something like that.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. I got nothing.
I love how I say, I'm like, oh, I like his character. I did this. Who was that? Okay. That's who that character was. Nothing to say? You weren't entertained by, like, I think he had some of the funniest lines in the whole movie where she gets donations because she's singing. He's like, yeah, that's what happens when you do stuff.
When you do
and
stuff,
just a couple
yeah.
and a couple of other
I did like him.
Really great lines.
I did like him. I like the coin flip. That was cute. I like he's figuring it out, right? I like that he's like, we'll do it live. And so like he's doing the weather and then someone dies. He's like, oh, we like, and this happened. Like, that was cute.
And then he goes, you see him also canceling his dinner reservations because the Hunger Games are going later than he anticipated. I thought that was funny too.
Yeah,
lots
like,
of great things.
What do you say? He's like, he was like, you know who I am or something like that or something. Like, he was implying that they should know who he is. Like, I'm hosting the first Hunger Games and
10th Hunger Games. We're gonna be God there. Damn it, Jonesy. Did you watch the same movie? I don't even
know.
10th Hunger Games.
You're right. It was 10 years, but I think he was the first host, right?
Oh, so you're right. He was the first.
He said something along those lines.
He was the first host.
It was something like, you know, table for two and a high chair.
Yep.
That I did like, but I wasn't interested in the rest.
It was
so here's
it's
the thing.
Interesting to talk
this
to
is one of those movies.
You literally
this is one of those movies.
I feel like you're someone was eating. Were you high? Were your memories being eaten away as you were watching this?
I was sleepy. I will admit that. I was sleepy.
So would you give this? So you gave it a C or C minus. Rotten Tomatoes asks you, fresh or rotten? Fresh or rotten? What do you say? Rotten?
I would say fresh, probably because I think that the things that bothered me about it, like I said, I think someone like you or someone that is into the series would like it. I don't think it's a poorly made film. I don't think it's a badly made film. Like, it is obvious that there was a lot of care and attention and money put in this film. But it just wasn't for me. And that's okay.
All right.
What the fuck was with the dress pants?
I mean, clearly somebody didn't retain memories of capital fashion from the previous movie, so it's an extension of that. You're talking about the dress pants with like the skirt?
Yes.
Yeah. Capital flamboyant fashion. That's like a trademark of the series. So, and they just wanted to make it proto. So there you go.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
I think we're done. I think that with this, this has run its course. We don't want anybody to cancel their own dinner reservations listening to this podcast. So let's just go ahead and close things out. Jonesy, do your thing.
Smile. That's why I have teeth. No, okay.
That was
all right. Well, that was another good line.
There was there was also a really funny line where I don't remember what the quote was, where Flickerman really, like Jason Schwartzman's character, said a line that he's like, you saw his smug face. He's like, ooh, that's a good line. Like the way he said it. I don't remember what the line was, but I thought that was great.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked all the adults. Maybe that's what it was. All right, here we go. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. Yeah, and jump on LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network for all that stuff. And then get on Discord and tell me why I'm wrong about the fifth Hunger Games film. Hasta lasagna.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.